the show.
Hello, everyone in listener land. Welcome to The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, here in Studio A on top of Mount Dobson with Steve and Candace Waters. Welcome, you two.
Lisa.
Great to be at the summit of Mount Dobson with you, Lisa.
That's a good time. It always is a good time. So I'm still sitting in his chair. They haven't kicked me out yet. So, well, welcome, everyone. We love receiving feedback from you, and we have received some feedback. And the reason we're reading this feedback is that it is extremely complimentary. So those of you who have criticized us, we read that too, but then we just pitch it. But folks like you, Alexander, who wrote to us and actually has written to us several times.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. And let's be honest, he also gave to the $5 campaign people. And when I spend that much time talking about it and telling you to give and you do, we're going to read your letter. So here we go. Alexander is talking to us about episode 74, which is where we talked about age differences. And bless your heart, Alexander, you just kind of like went way into it. So I'm just going to read his letter because it's super cute. Age differences. What a sweet, sweet show, guys. Not because of anything profound that anybody said. Whoops.
God forbid.
But just because of the overwhelming sense of love between all the couples. So obvious that some wonderful thing had happened for everyone. Even hopelessly weird over the hill Ted. I'm going to reread that part. Even hopelessly weird over the hill Ted. And that amount of tenderness was so precious. And then to add the video shots to see who we're talking about, truly a blessed event. Okay, now here's where it just gets fabulous. And the truly riveting drama of Lisa's quest, which it is a quest, people, let me tell you, just gets more and more engrossing each week. It's a movie serial potboiler that we just can't get enough of. Let me just tell you, folks, I have had enough of it, but maybe you haven't. Who would have thought? Lisa Anderson, the star of her own radio reality series. Again, thank you for all your honesty, and we are all well aware that it ain't funny, it hurts. And she is so lifted up in prayer by all of us out here in radio land. God bless us all, Alexander. Thank you, Alexander, for your note. The rest of you out there that want a note read here on The Boundless Show, something that you write to us, like I said, just say something super positive and or pray for us and me particularly.
And or put in $5.
And or put in $5.
There you
yes.
go.
So, so that's fabulous. That's a lot of fun when we get to connect with folks who are out there. You all, we just love you. Okay, today, because we are here to help people. That's what we do on the show, right?
Woohoo!
You know, or you should know by now, if you've listened to the show and or read the blog and the webzine, that a while ago, we published an ebook, basically called A Guy's Guide to Marrying Well.
Last fall. It was like October, something like that.
It has gone gangbusters.
Bananas.
Yeah, crazy. Because, let's be honest, guys need help. And that
well,
is why...
And it's free.
And so, it's free, you know. Yes.
That's right. And it's short.
And it's short.
And it has
and
pictures.
There are pictures. I was just going to say, there are pictures.
Color pictures.
So that is fantastic. We had to release that one first because, let's just be honest, in the whole quest for marriage, like 99% of the problem is the guys.
Oh, Lisa.
Come on.
I'm just going to say it.
Oh,
okay.
Lisa.
I'll
your
let
bias
Steve win
is, your bias is coming out,
it's creeping
girlfriend.
Through. Okay. Well, we just wanted to give them a head start. That's all I'm saying. So, but now, because of
maybe
popular demand.
Maybe we love the guys best, and so we serve them first.
Yeah, can we go with that explanation?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that. That
yeah.
sounds good.
We like the guys.
Yeah. We love you guys.
I mean, after all, Lisa, isn't it a guy you want to marry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully after having read this book. I mean, yes. These guys need to start reading it and then write to me. Okay, so, but now, due to popular demand, we decided to come up with the girls' version.
Ooh.
Yeah, the cheers are deafening. So, all that to say, we want to describe this as, and we did this with the guys' guide as well, this is really like a compilation of the best of everything that's been offered by Boundless on this topic for real people, right?
This is like the boiled down nugget, how many metaphors can we get in? This is a supercharged vitamin
The Reader's
tablet.
Digest. I mean, Boundless has been around 12 years, and this is like the 12
this
year
is the
Reader's
concentrated
digest
best
compilation
of what Boundless has to say on how to get married well. Yes. How to marry well.
This is like the boundless buffet.
In it. This is like
with
if you want to get
the
info.
Vegetables, yes. Just the good stuff.
If you want to get all the info without having to wade through all of Steve's references to various research modules and or studies that
that's
have
right.
been done.
That's right.
And if you don't want to just have Candace tell you, marry or die, like 25 times, you can read this book. And it's basically like getting the same thing.
Well, so actually, it's other people she found who would say, marry or die.
Exactly, to support.
Not just me. This is a fun book. I'm telling you, the designer, Luke Flowers, and Michael Heath, who oversaw the design of this book, they are brilliant. It is colorful. It looks like, Lisa, like you were saying, like a Tiffany's box. I mean, what woman doesn't want a readable pocket-sized guide that is the color of a Tiffany's box?
Because it basically ensures that you will get a Tiffany box at your engagement. I'm just saying.
We'll let you...
It's in there. It's somewhere. It's
we'll
a money-back guarantee.
We'll enforce that insurance there. The images are fun. They really bring the principles to life. The pictures are cool. This is a fun guide. It was fun to work on. And having heard from so many blog readers who had input about what should be included and really working hard to get in there what all of you said should be in here. I think it turned out great. I'm super excited about this guide.
Well, we should probably say something about the content. I mean, it's a nice guide, but it wouldn't be valuable if it didn't have great stuff in it. And we organized it the same way we did the guy's guide around the principles of intentionality, of purity, community, and Christian compatibility. And those can be applied differently for our female readers. But the big ideas are still those core biblical principles that we see being the timeless path to a good marriage.
Yeah, okay. It's a very helpful, jam-packed how-to that is biblically grounded and principled. And the thing I love best about it is that it doesn't just say you should get married. It says it helps you assess if you're ready to get married, and not just marriage at all costs, but marrying well for God's glory.
Okay. So we know that in the guy's guide, we talked a lot about, you know, a guy's responsibility to pursue and what it looks like to look at purity as a whole. What are the distinctives of this for women?
Lisa, the book really starts with what to do when there is no guy and what to do when the guys aren't asking. And then it moves on into, once you're dating, how to assess if it's a healthy relationship, if it has the potential to go the distance, and where to look for wise counsel, and how to assess what's going on in your own heart, and everything from what's going on with your Christian walk, your walk with the Lord and your spiritual maturity, to how you're stewarding your looks and your body, and then into your purity and how you're relating with your boyfriend and how you're honoring God or not honoring God with your relationship and what to do about that. And so it's a very comprehensive look at the process from not knowing who you're going to marry, not knowing the guy, to meeting him, to then walking through the relationship up to marriage.
You know, I would say in the context of intentionality with guys, we're really encouraging this sense of step up, take leadership, recognize that Proverbs is saying, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and there's an active role for you to play. And we're not, in the context of the girl's guide, saying, now you need to get out there and just work as hard as you can to make a marriage happen, as much as recognizing this is something that you can be purposeful about, and that you do have a key role to play in keeping relationships moving towards marriage instead of just being recreational in nature. And even if you're not in a relationship, there's still things you can do to be purposeful about preparing for the possibility of marriage, and even how you interact with those around you so that there's a greater likelihood that you'll be moving in a positive direction.
Well, and two, a reminder that everything we encourage you to do in this guide to hopefully marry well overlaps so much so with your Christian discipleship that if you don't end up marrying, if God doesn't bring a man into your life and marriage isn't part of the plan for you, your time will not have been wasted, because you will be a better woman in Christ for having done these things.
Yeah, that's true, especially of the purity and the community sections, to recognize that the life that we live as Christians has to be dramatically distinct from the culture around us, and that God calls us to absolute purity, and that he calls us to life in the body, and that those practices are very much woven into our daily growth and our relationship with Christ and what he calls us into in the world. But that also happens to be what helps us to marry well. It's only in the bookends, the front part, which is about being intentional about relationships and about opportunities, and then in the back end, which is looking at potential compatibility for a couple to determine, are they better together for the gospel than apart? It's only in those areas where it really is distinct from basic Christian discipleship, and where it is something that would be different from maybe the person who's called to celibate service, but instead is looking for those principles for how they marry well.
And I think the compatibility part for women is especially important because we're looking at, you know, we've talked about this before about that aptitude. And right. So what would you say specifically to women kind of in light of that who know that, you know, they're not going to have the leadership role in the home?
Right.
So what exactly are they going to be looking for here?
You mean in terms of compatibility? Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is such an important encouragement. It comes alongside women who are, I think, frankly, quite often tempted to lower their standards in this realm and date a guy who's maybe not as serious about his faith as they are. And that has the makings of a really disastrous and frustrating marriage and a disappointing marriage because women who have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, who marry men who don't, find themselves very discouraged and being, I think, dragged down and pulled away from their faith. A man who doesn't change in the dating relationship toward Christ isn't going to then be more motivated to change toward him after marriage just by way of the marriage. Now, that's not to say Christ can't come in and do a miracle, but this really does provide the encouragement to say, don't lose heart, don't give up, don't lower your standards in the area of Christian maturity. Look for a husband who's in the same spiritual weight class so that together you can serve the kingdom. But it also challenges them to reassess their what they're looking for, make sure they really are aligned with what the Bible says makes for a good husband and not what the culture says.
Hey, Lisa, one of the things that was encouraging for us to hear after the Guy's Guide came out is that some people had printed it out and used it as conversation starters, like in a dorm room or something, or even people who had a small group that was getting together. And I think people would find this is a real practical resource for that. And it's not like you have to go buy 20 copies of it for your friends. You can all print it out or even just pull up a laptop and use it as a discussion guide. And so we just want to encourage people. It's out there. It's ready, available to use in whatever setting, personal or group, you know, that something like this would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have certainly given out a lot of copies of the Guy's Guide already, and we'll be doing so with this guide as well. I think it would be good, like for a Sunday school class or a singles group or whatever, to split, you know, guys and girls and each take the guides mm-hmm. and discuss and, you know, get a good, you know, pastor, or elder, or mentor couple in there to kind of work through some of the questions.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. And it's such a handy thing to have it all in one place because I know I even will, having edited so many of the Boundless articles and commissioned some of them, will forget what's there. And, you know, it's hard to go back and find things sometimes because there is such a huge archive. And so this is a really handy way to know you've got all the best on the relationship issue for women in one place. And you can go back and refresh your memory because I think we forget some of these principles in the day-to-day living.
Okay. Well, do get it. Again, it is free. It is available as an ebook, digital download at boundless.org/girls. Guys, the Guy's Guide is still up there as well. So make sure you get your copy of that. Check it out. And like we said, talk about it with your friends. Pass it out to your friends and make sure that other folks, especially, you know, those who you know are kind of helping you along the path to marriage, know about it as well, because they want to be sure to be in the know. And, you know, quite frankly, maybe they're not regular Boundless listeners and, you know, need to hear our message. So we're always about educating people in all stages of life. So and, you know, just as a side note, because we're in the first week of August here, check out, this is, again, just an example of how we are talking to newsmakers, people. This month's issue of Christianity Today, the cover story features Mark Brignaris, who, you know, we had on the show not too long ago talking about marriage. And speaking of marriage, that's what his article is on. And about, you know, kind of getting to marriage and what does it look like to do that. The benefits of young marriage, to do that as a young person. And so, and, you know, just basically dealing with that from a cultural perspective. And then there's a sidebar article where they actually mention the Boundless Show and quote me with a couple of my wacky quotes. So they're not nearly as esoteric, but you can
so
just say.
So even if you don't read the full Regnerus article, read the Lisa Anderson sidebar.
Yeah, well, that's just on online dating. It's kind of funny. So I had to throw out some truths there, people, that were just practical. So you know what that's about. So, and just keeping it real. But Mark's stuff is really good as well. So there we are in the news, folks. We're doing it for you. So we'll keep you posted. And thanks, Steve and Candace, for weighing in on this. We'll hopefully get some good feedback from people. Get the book, you guys, and write to us at editor@boundless.org.
There is a pink elephant. He came into town. is the gift that keeps taking. And the promises he makes are the quick fixes that keep breaking. And it's awkward and it's strange, and he won't see.
For this week's culture segment, I am in the studio with Phil Joel and his wife Heather. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
You never told us it was about culture.
Oh, we just call it
the
culture segment.
Because we're unrefined.
That's good. You know what? We are here too, but we just use it for marketing purposes.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we do. That segment here on the show. Okay. Those of you who know Phil Joel, you may know him from his days in the Newsboys. Woo, woo, woo. And how long were we talking there?
13, nearly 13 years. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, 13 long years.
Okay, because you have shown up today, both of you, quite frankly, very blonde. You were just looking young and fresh, and
it's not blonde,
that.
It's gray.
Is it really?
There's the thing about being blonde is that when the gray comes, it just looks like super blonde.
Slips on in there. Mm-hmm.
See, that's nice.
Tricky.
But I like that you're not trying to compete, because Heather goes with the straight, and then Phil, obviously, we know as the curly. Do you guys share any hair products?
That's a good question.
Do we? No.
No, not really.
His and hers.
Yeah.
Don't touch my hair products.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Are you naturally curly? Because I'm assuming you're not busting out the chi every morning.
Not
to,
busting
curl
out the
that
chi.
Thing out. Okay. That's good to know. We appreciate that here at the Boundless Show. So, well, you obviously are known, you know, our fans here, our friends at the Boundless Show are mostly 20s and 30s. So these are folks who from youth group on probably listened to your music, Phil, and probably have continued to do so. And before I even forget, I want to throw out, if you're listening now and on your computer, check out Phil at philjoel.com and deliberatepeople.com. We're going to be talking about ventures related to both of those things here in a minute. But they were here this morning.
Can I just say, though, if those people go to those websites and they can't get into them, that they should turn their computers off and go and play tennis.
Okay. I thought you were just going to give them, like, your home number to just call you and be like, can you please get this
working? No problem. 555-974-3402.
Okay. That is good. That's good to know. So, well, you two are here today at the invite of Steve Waters, believe it or not. He's just a mover and shaker.
Steve.
He just starts inviting people. He calls them up and is like, come to Focus. So that's awesome. But did a Devo for our staff this morning, in which you sang, Phil, and just mildly introduced Heather, which I thought was a little bit rude. But
really?
Whatever. I'm glad we can get her more, you know, maybe some more airtime here. But that's
the moment,
okay.
The moment
she seems
you bring
to be
Heather
a
into the picture,
person.
I'm gone.
Well,
all
eyes
well,
that's
are,
true.
The moment you bring her into
you have
the
to
picture,
have your own time.
It's all out. It's all over.
We haven't discussed that, really.
Well,
that
means.
Yeah, anyway, I'm okay. I'm all eyes a little bitter, but.
Well, you had your, Heather, speaking of which, you had your day, you actually were on TV as well with CMT, right?
Right.
And you met, let's share a little story of how you met, because, hello, different countries. This is fascinating. Because,
yeah.
you know,
true.
Usually we tell people, you know what, find your mate down the street. But that was
good
enough
them?
For you. We do.
Okay.
Because people are getting way too, they exert themselves too much, we feel. So, what, but tell us your story.
Well, we were on tour in Kansas. And we were in Wichita, and I was riding my skateboard around in the parking lot of the arena we were playing in. That's all I possessed was a skateboard at that point. I was a young man. And
that's one thing we don't necessarily recommend for finding a mate, is just riding
right.
around on a skateboard.
Yeah.
It's not going to work usually.
Okay.
And probably buy a car or something. So I had a skateboard, and the van pulled up and said, hey, we're going to do an interview at a radio station. Would you like to come? I said, yeah. I jumped in the van with the two other guys from the band, and we went to this radio station. And on the reception was Heather. And so I met her, and we went through to the sound booth, you know, and there were only two microphones set up for the interview. And so one person had to go out and, you know, had to
graciously bow out and sit in the reception area. And me being the servant that I am, I decided that I would do that. And so I sat out there and talked to her.
Oh, oh, you are a blessing.
I was seriously pretty smitten.
And what?
Like,
just like as soon as you met her?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Because she was laughing at herself and making jokes about herself. And she was drop dead gorgeous. And I could tell she didn't understand that she was drop dead gorgeous. And she was really fun. And so I, yeah, that was that.
That's sweet.
Oh, and what did you think, Heather?
Well, see, I grew up very, very conservatively in a Christian home. But my, you know, my dad and my brother.
I can give you a witness right there.
You, like, now, yeah. You know what? Let's paint a picture.
Okay,
you
let's
were
paint
wearing,
a picture. How
you
fun.
Were wearing, like, khaki pants
khaki
with
pants
a plaid Cole Haan belt.
Yes.
And what shoes?
And I had on Cole Haan.
Shoes?
Yeah, little leather shoes.
Slip-ons.
And, yes. And so when Phil walked in, you know, I mean, my dad and my brother, they're Thai guys. Thai, you know, extra starch on the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That type of deal.
And good looking men.
Good looking men. But then in walks Phil. And so, you know, I was, you know, obviously highly attracted to him. But he had on a white t-shirt with a big green pig on it. And it said, "My pig won" on his t-shirt. And he had on orange flare pants.
I'd just been to a pig race in Southern California.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And he had, you know, long hair and earrings. And so while I was, yes, attracted to him, I was also
repelled?
Going, there's absolutely, no, I was not repelled. Attracted and yet repelled.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was thinking, this is an impossible combination. Clearly, my family will not go for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got to be friends and talked on the phone all the time. And I eased my parents into the water. I really had to kind of, you know, talk them through.
Yeah. Now, did you ever, like, interviewing folks, I mean, was this like a common occurrence of you just kind of like scope out band members as they come through for interviews or what was going on? And this was just another one that you're like, pass.
Well, actually,
orange pants, pass.
Can I just, I don't think I've ever said this, but yeah, I did actually look at the poster of the Newsboys to see if there was anybody
which
cute.
Which was the most eligible?
Did you?
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, I did.
Hmm.
But see, if you know anything about the Newsboys, Duncan, I thought, that's a cute guy. Now, Duncan is about 1 foot shorter than me.
Mm.
And it just, you know, I'm tall. I'm almost 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, you know, I didn't realize that till he walked in. I was like, no, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. But then here's the deal. Phil was not on the poster. So he was like bonus because he just came to the United States. He had only been here 6 weeks. So when he walked in, who knew? I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
So it just threw a whole thing in the mix.
Oh, my word.
I was not prepared.
Yeah. So this was, okay, what season, what year are we talking about here?
This is 1994.
Yeah.
94. Okay. So that is probably, what are we talking about? Like Not Ashamed was just out? Just,
yes. Yeah. That was what we were, yes.
Okay.
It was that tour. It was Not Ashamed tour.
Yeah.
We were playing mainly Not Ashamed songs, but mm-hmm. I think Going Public had just came out.
Because I actually drove a van full of girls halfway across the U.S. with that album, playing that song, actually, which was kind of my anthem of that summer.
Not Ashamed.
Not Ashamed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Over and over again, just hitting repeat. Because actually, new CD player thought it was the most awesome thing ever.
Wow.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, I don't have to, like, just, you know,
rewind.
Reverse. Yeah, rewind. Whoa. So, okay. So walk us through a little bit more of the journey of you two then getting married.
Well, here's the funny thing. We, this was 94, you know, I didn't have a cell phone. Cell phones had sort of just come on the scene and they were huge and they were just really expensive.
And they plugged in with the curly cord into the car. They were actually car phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we didn't have one of those. And, so I would carry around a bag full of quarters. And I would use quarters to call her from payphones in different cities.
Gas stations.
And, yeah, all over the place. And I'd write letters. And, you know,
real letters. Like actual letters on paper.
It took her a while, though, because, you know, I don't think she thought I was serious. She thought that I had a girl in every town or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that was very much not the case. There was something that sort of clicked when I met her. And so, so we got married a year and a half later. And then Heather got this job on CMT, on television. And then things were rolling along. And then I started making solo records in the midst of touring with the Newsboys. And,
Okay. So you were kind of caught up. I mean, did that life get kind of crazy for you guys? Okay, obviously, because you're touring, you're also creating solo work, you're working. Is this kind of like, did you have a point where you were kind of like, I don't think this is the life we really signed up for? Well, you signed up for it, Phil, because, I mean, hello. You came out of New Zealand and, you know, you came to the U.S. and so you're jumping into a crazy life here. I mean, of course, now, you know, there's Lord of the Rings there. But you weren't there for that, obviously. They couldn't use you as an extra because you were too busy.
But don't you think he would have been a great Cenotaur? I look at him. I'm serious. Every once in a while, I think if they do another one.
Yeah.
Is a Cenotaur the ones with the horse bodies?
Horse body, and then you could do a couple little braids down this. Don't you think?
I think that would be pretty good. You know? Anyway. I mean, there may be future films.
Yeah. They're doing The Hobbit. I know they're doing The Hobbit.
From other viewpoints. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. I could be The Hobbit.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So you came. Tell us about this point where you came, because now we're talking about a new season here, where you kind of just realized, what's going on here? Did we sign up for this?
Yeah, it got pretty crazy, and we had a child.
Well, can I say this though? Yes, before that, it did kind of work for us
because
you know, Phil was on the road, and at that point, because we didn't have kids, I could be on the tour bus and pretty much as we wanted. You know,
and then she traveled with CMT, and I would go with her whenever I could, and that was fun. So we traveled together doing these different things, and then you know, even if we were apart, I'd just turn the TV on, and there was she was on TV. It was kind of fun. But we had our first child 5 years into marriage. Had our little girl, and it wasn't long after that we kind of.
We realized it was definitely a new season, and we were kind of trying to squeeze the old season into the new season, and that's when it got crazy.
Yeah, and that's when God intervened in a really cool way and sort of said, hey, what do you want? What do you want to do? You know, because we were living the American dream, man, on steroids. It was awesome in that respect. But you can have it all, but you can have nothing. And really, in essence, that is kind of what he said. He said, you know a lot about me. You've been speaking about me, singing about me, all this sort of stuff, but you don't really know me. And Heather and I both felt that pull from the Lord at that time to get back to the simplicity of a relationship with Him, basics, tear it back to the basics. And we're still there, you know. The basics are that, man, life is meant to function within the context of a relationship with God, a real one, a living one, a dynamic one that works, you know. And so we did something pretty old-fashioned, you know. We just wound the alarm clock back and began to spend time with God in the morning, and it changed our lives. Every morning we just open up the Word and say, Lord, here we are. Show us how you want us to live. Show us what this relationship that we're born for. Change us to whatever you want. We want what you want. And you better believe when you do something like that, He's not going to ignore you, you know, and He didn't. Yeah. He didn't.
Now, what did that, was that a period or was that a moment? Like, is this like a turn on the dime kind of thing where you realized the God that I want to know, I'm not knowing Him in the way that I want to know? Or was there some, what did,
well,
what
I think
needed
it was,
to change?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of slowly, we started feeling that, just, you know, we kind of talk about it and we go, man, is this it? Is this it? This is it, isn't it?
But I mean, not that we weren't necessarily like, sad, you know, like, no. Is this it? Oh boy, how disappointing. It wasn't that. It was like, you know, like I said, you can have everything, but realize there's more. We're missing out on something here. And to be honest with you, what brought it to this point, we found ourselves in a situation where we needed to pray. And it was, what is one of those situations that was not just not calling for a Lord, thank you for our food prayer. It was like a real, it was a situation that was a little out of hand, and we needed to pray. And I was like, wow, we don't really know how to pray. We don't really know how to call on the Lord in this situation. We don't know the truth of the Word of God to stand on. We don't know Scripture. We don't really, I don't really know if I know who I am in Christ at all. It was kind of embarrassing, confusing, sort of a moment that we both experienced. And you know, and this is coming from a guy who's traveled the world proclaiming the gospel, you know, and you know, passionate about the things of God. But I just realized, we both realized in that moment, there was more. And it was a gentle spank. it wasn't a bad thing, but it was the Lord saying, hey, whoa, slow down. I've got more for you.
And we were blessed.
And more, and it was actually less, you know. Sometimes less is more. And so we began to change. Things began to change, and it was.
And I do think the thing that was such a huge blessing is that it really did happen to us at the same time. And I know that's not the case a lot of the times, you know, but it actually happened the same night, the same, you know, it was really cool. So we really have been able to begin this journey together. I feel.
And that was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 8 years ago. And we still do the same thing. We still just get up every morning and spend time with God because he's great. And you know, like any other relationship, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes, and time is one of the key word that we've realized, you know, that's the thing that's under attack right now, our time. And man, things are moving quick, aren't they? They're fast, man. This is a culture that is just saying, bam, 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 bam. Get on top of it. Get with it. Get with the program. You know, get.
And you have to ride this wave. You have to do that.
And I don't know. I kind of think we feel like we're part of the resistance these days, you know?
Well, and it's one of those things where, you know, I can see as you're talking, we could easily be tricked into thinking this is going to be like a 3 weeks to a better you. Like, I'm going to try this thing and see how it works. And, you know, it's going to move me along, you know, at two or three jumps, and then I'll just kind of, you know, hang there for a while. But you said it actually involved some sacrifice. I mean, you already, you know, your parents, you're having to get up earlier, you're having to say, we're really going to do this, we're going to commit to it. And now, what'd you say, 8 years in? You know, you're still doing it. So, but what have the rewards been?
Well, I think on just along with that, you know, we don't really view it as a diet. We look at in our culture, we want a diet that helps us get to the place we want to get. And then if it doesn't work, then that diet didn't work. And then we try another diet and another diet. And, you know, we really see this as we just committed to change our lifestyle. And as Christians, the number one relationship in our life should be our one with the Lord. And that was so far down our priority list. We had tons of things competing for that spot. And we're like, what if we made God the top of our priority list? I wonder what would happen. And we really talked through this. And
And I don't think we were conscious of the fact that God wasn't really...
No, not until we started talking about
it. The relationship that he wanted for us, I didn't think we were aware of the fact that we weren't pursuing that.
But it's because we were moving so fast that we didn't actually ever look at it. But when we did sit down and start really talking through things, we were like, oh, wow, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, we are busy. We're busying ourselves in life with a lot of things, and we need to get back to the simplicity of what it's about. And so, yeah, it seems really simple, but God's like that. He's mysterious and wonderful and complex and creator of the universe and all that. But this gospel it's meant to work. It's meant to work. It's meant to bring us hope and truth and life. That's who Jesus said he was. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I bring you hope. This is supposed to function. I want to fill you with good stuff. I want you to manifest love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, self-control, all that stuff. The good stuff, you know. But, man, I know a lot of Christians, you know, and sometimes we're just downright grumpy and not happy with life and all that. God wants us to, man, our relationship with him is meant to be at the top. And yes, we're born, you know, life, there is pain in life and there are struggles and there are tough stuff that we're going to go through. But we're meant to enjoy God and enjoy this relationship with him because he's really good. You know, Heather says this. And I don't know if this is sacrilegious or not. I don't think so. But she says, God's a sweetheart. You know? He's a sweetheart. He is. And it's his kindness that draws us back to repentance and draws us back to him. But, you know, so I don't know. I think a lot of... We're noticing maybe our generation, you know, people around us are realizing, man, my head is spinning. Culture is just making me move so quick and I'm trying to keep up and I'm not. And the things that matter in life are falling apart, and I've got to get back to the simplicity of my relationship with God. I've got to feed on his goodness, his faithfulness, and
find out what his plans are, because mine are not necessarily
that great.
Okay, so how, in embracing that, definitely as a personal challenge, as a challenge as a couple and then a family, what were the biggest things that changed? And I know you sang about this morning, Phil. You talked about change, and you, you know, you have want to talk about the music a little bit too. But what really did you see change?
Right. Well, like I said, you know, time is the thing that's under attack. You know, and for me, I had to. We called that first year that we really began to seek God and wound that alarm clock back and began to get up and spend time with God. We called that our boot camp year. And so, you know, just pushing aside everything that would sort of that would get in the way, the clutter. And one of those things was my solo career. I was in the middle of, I was with the Newsboys. I had a solo career and we had a kid and we were married and blah, 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 all this stuff. So I'm like, man, this solo career thing is, I had another band with that and I was touring. We got to stop. I can't do this anymore because it's just robbing my time. And it's robbing my attention from the things that really matter. So I stopped that. And that was tough, you know, because I had booking and management and record companies to appease and all that. And they weren't very happy about that, but they understood, you know, they were gracious. But the Lord sort of challenged my schedule, my priority list. And I had to take a really strong look at it and say, Lord, what needs to stay? What needs to go? A lot of things had to go. A lot of things were just... You know, the Bible is pretty clear about it. Everything's permissible, but not everything's profitable. Mm-hmm. So there was just certain things, and, you know, let's just quit those things and let's not be involved in this thing now and let's get back to simplifying.
And as we did those things, it wasn't this big loss of things.
No.
It was like a gaining.
It was
like,
taking it back.
As soon as we did that, it was like, oh, the relief, the peace. And as we kind of started chopping things out, it wasn't hard. It became... fun to chop away at things,
but it's a constant vigil, isn't it?
Oh,
even
yeah.
Now, you know, more things come in, more invitations, more even, you know, with the way that things are moving, you know, the emergence of all this sort of social networking and the way we communicate these days, and there's always invitations to, okay, maybe we should start communicating this way. Maybe you need to engage in this, you know, website and be a part of this and da 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 da. So everything that comes in, you have to assess and put through a filter of, you know, is this going to be profitable? Everything's permissible, but is it going to be profitable?
And in mm-hmm. this season and the things that the Lord's calling me to do, mm. is this going to be a distraction, or is it going to be, you know, even if it looks good, it can be a distraction. And you know, I mean, the enemy's pretty clever and he's pretty good at throwing mm-hmm. those little distractions in our way, because the last thing he wants is for us to have time mm-hmm. for relationships, mm-hmm. primarily the one we have with God. So, you know, I used to be one of those people. Phil and I both used to be like, okay, Lord, if this is you, open the door and I will run through, mm-hmm. you know? And I kind of realized one day, whoa, the enemy can open lots of doors too.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, things that look great and wonderful, and if they're, especially when they're ministry things, mm-hmm. you know, people can say, well, how could you not want to do that? That's ministry. Well, and, you know, just becoming okay with going, okay, Lord, where are we? What are you calling us to for this season? And seasons change, so that's pretty fun and encouraging to know mm-hmm. that you're not always stuck in the same season. But going, okay, what are the parameters around this? And this thing has come in. Is this from you? Is this going to be enhancing what you're calling us to? Or is this just another thing to take away our time?
Another distraction.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Or those who think, and I think I've shared this on the show before, that, you know, we're always asking God to call us to something huge, when really the small things that we're called to be very faithful mm-hmm. in are things that we need to manage our time and our attentions and our energies as well, and uh-huh. not wait for that next biggest thing, I think. Okay, so tell me now how then you got the vision to call other people to this. Tell us about Deliberate People and how, I mean, because I think it would be great if just you guys, mm. you know, did your thing and the rest of us could just be crazy and frenetic and not have to be disciplined or anything. So.
Well, I think, you know, both of us are church kids. We grew up in church our mm-hmm. whole lives. Mm. And I think, you know, after we began this, you know, probably about a year after we had, you know, really started just the simple spending time with the Lord thing, we were like, you know what? We started kind of baby stepping and talking to people about it, and we realized there were a lot of people that were in our same situation, a lot of people that had either grown up in church or just somehow, you know, mm. were new to Christ, but just didn't, there was a block there somehow. We were like,
and they just needed a catalyst or a tool or something, just to
a plan
to reboot the system a little bit, you know. And a lot of people out there, you know, very, very passionate about the things of God, you know, and mm-hmm. but but knowing that there's more and not exactly sure what to do. And, you know, and the old school, you know, devotion time thing, that doesn't seem to cut it. Doesn't sound right. And I agree. It doesn't sound right. What we're talking about is meeting with God, meeting with Him, really. And I talked about this in the last interview we did. We were chatting about, like, with Heather and I in our relationship earlier on when I was touring a lot and I was away for long periods of time. You know, I'd call her on the phone and we would talk until we kind of connected. You know, you got to connect, and it takes a little bit to connect. It takes more than 160, you know, letters,
characters.
And then when we connected, that was good. And then we'd say, okay, bye. We connected, and there was peace in that, and it was good. So it's the same with the Lord, you know, in the morning, just getting with Him. And I know everyone's schedule's different, you know, and Jesus drew a way to be with God during the day at different points. And we're not saying the morning is the only time, but it's a nice, quiet time of the day. And so getting with Him and making sure that we make that connection with Him, not just skimming through some quick devotional reading, not just skimming through some readings, check a box, yeah. Oh, I could do some prayer, write in a journal. Okay,
and
go,
that's
go.
Totally how we were. Oh. I was totally like that, where I just, my box was like.
And again, why do we do that? Because we get so full of all these other things and we're so busy with all the other things in life that we don't slow down enough to really connect with God and listen to Him and attune our voice to Him, you know, to hear from Him. And yeah, so it's pretty simple stuff, Lisa. We're pretty simple people. We're becoming more and more simple as we move forward, you know, because there is an enemy out there and all he wants to do is complicate things and intimidate and fill our heads with anxiety and worry. And the Lord's just saying, hey, come away, slow down. I got some things I want to tell you. I want to love on you. I want to show you some things.
And I have great plans for your life. Yeah. I think we forget that too, especially, I think, you know, I grew up, great Christian home, awesome family. But I think somehow in the mix, whether it was Sunday school or whatever, I just thought, man, God wants me to do well.
Be and moral, be upright, and yeah, do well with do the good things He's given me.
Do good, Heather. And so I was just trying to do something good. No, you know, I had no real plan or anything. But man, when you get a hold of the fact that it talks in the Word over and over about God having a plan for your life, if you really get a hold of that truth and begin to walk in that and believe it, man, then you're going, hang on, if God created me specifically for a plan and a purpose, I wasn't the one who made me, God was. And I, when He was making me, He had a plan and a design just for me. Whoa, that can really change your thinking. And I think when I
change the way you approach the Lord.
Yeah, and just going, okay, Lord, if this isn't You, I don't want it. I want the plans and purpose to be. That's the adventure, becoming the person You were born to be. Whoa.
Which I think is hugely encouraging for people in our audience, because we have so many who are, maybe they're transitioning now out of college and figuring out what God's going to have them do for a career, or they're making relationship decisions and pursuing a mate, or they're, you know, making decisions about finances or choosing a church or how they're going to get involved in ministry. And so, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, people, young adults can get very caught up in that and very very nervous about, what's that going to look like?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is based on us not thinking God is specific and maybe not believing that He's a God that cares about the details, that those little things are just, you know, maybe He's too busy.
Yeah,
or
all He's concerned about is me not sinning.
Yeah.
And me just being, you know.
Oh, man, if we can get a hold of the fact that there's so much more to what God has for us than not sinning.
Yeah.
It could get a little exciting around this place, couldn't it?
Sometimes I think we need to get a little radical, you know? And so I think if, you know, and there's been times I've found myself in spots where I'm going, Lord, I need to hear from You so bad right now. I've got to hear what You have to say. And, you know, the Bible talks about fasting, prayer and fasting. You know, I think even as believers, and I catch myself in this, I spend my time worrying, getting anxious, you know, shallow breathing. What am I doing? I need that needs to turn into prayer. And real prayer, even audible prayer coming out of my mouth so I can hear it. And sometimes I just got to get away and go and, you know, walk in the woods or whatever. I don't know, take a walk around the block, stick earplugs in, get away, turn the phone off. And speak to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. I need direction, and I'm going to listen. And
actually, the trick is, the action behind saying, and I'm going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
What makes that difference is actually listening and actually taking the time to stop and listen, you know? Mm-hmm. Action on our part, I think, is a big, big part of the relationship that we skip out on, because we know God loves us and we want to get the good stuff from him. But it's kind of like we like throw it in the knapsack and run away real fast, you know? But really, he wants to spend time with us and mm-hmm. and he wants us to listen. And that the listening thing is usually what we don't have time for.
Yeah.
Because we want him to hurry up, you know?
Sure, yeah. Well, and I want to mention here as we wrap up just the music. I mean, obviously, where you probably, Phil, have chronicled a lot of now what God is, mm-hmm. is teaching you and what you've, you know, through prayer and through God really entering into your relationship with him individually and as a couple. The Deliberate People album has been out for a while. That's kind of your little kind of the watershed piece that's really going to put all this together for folks. And then the new one being The New Normal. Dave, our engineer, says he has it. So that's exciting stuff. So what's coming up? What's new? What's happening with the fam and elsewhere?
Yeah.
What can folks look forward to as they go to philjoel.com, philjoel.com, and Deliberate People?
Well, we're getting really excited about doing events, family kind of events, where everybody can come. And it kind of sounds strange, but we I don't know if you knew this. The first thing I did after leaving Newsboys was do what they call commit career suicide, which was make a children's record. We had it on our hearts really big time to make this kid's record, and so we did, and it's been received really, really well. So we get these calls all the time, can you come into a kid's show? I'm like, no, I cannot. I am not the Wiggles. I am not a VeggieTale.
But if you still have the orange pants, that would at least
that could be cute.
I mean, that could start you.
I could wear a green shirt and dress up like a carrot. So you know, we're not doing that, but we get this, you know, and I've been doing this for 15 years, and so there's sort of this very broad demographic that still listen to what I do, you know. And so we wanted to put together these more family-oriented shows, because it's weird. Like, I now have people come up to me and say, hey, you know, I love listening to you back, you know, 10 years ago when I was 18. Now I'm 28 and I've got kids, you know. Whoa! And I'm still listening to what you do, and I've got the kids record. And so we wanted to do these things called Family Fight Nights. And they're just family events, you know, where there's something for everybody, and it's so look out for those in your neighborhood.
Yay.
Coming to a neighborhood. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Near you.
That's great. Okay, well, thank you too so much
thank
for joining
y'all.
Us. Again, folks, make sure you check out the music and check out what Phil and Heather have going on at philjoel.com.
Oh, hey, Lisa, can I say something real quick?
Oh,
I was just thinking, you know, someone gave us this one-year Bible reading schedule. It was very helpful for us. On this website, Deliberate People, you can download that thing for free. And so I just want to let people know, they might be looking for a tool to go, okay, rather than just opening my Bible and pointing blindly to some scripture, you know, maybe I'd like a little form, a little structure to this thing. So they can download that for free on the website. And there are other journals that they can buy, but if they want that for free, they can get that.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to be said that the years, you know, usually I go... usually every other year, every 2 years, where I read through the entire Bible in a year.
Cool.
And I mean, those years are really landmark for me. I remember them very distinctly just kind of seasons of where I was and stuff like that. So I think that's huge. And I think folks out there, if you do that, go to deliberatepeople.com, check it out. And then write to us at editor@boundless.org and share your experience and what God's teaching you. And maybe as a community, we can talk about that and discuss. And, you know, I think that's important for us, especially as singles and young adults, to have that community with each other in doing that. So thank you both
thank
so
you.
Much for being part of this and for joining us here in the studio. Hopefully we'll see you back in Colorado.
Oh, yes.
They're now in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is hot and humid, so you need to get out of there in the summer.
I know, this is great. We love it here.
So just chill out here for a while, come back whenever you want, and we would love to visit with you again and keep us posted.
Great. Thanks,
Lisa.
Thanks.
I heard it. There's no doubt about it all. You said it. You meant it. Got me thinking about it. If you say that it's true, then it's something I can do now. And this is the path I'm taking. Ooh. Ironic. There's no doubt about it. Created. Why the imitating? It's the tabloid mentality of the train wreck picture showing me. Is this the way to be living?
for this week's Inbox. I'm in the studio, actually in the studio with Candace. Candace, Woo-hoo. Welcome.
Thanks, Lisa.
Hey, it's she decided nice to travel the, what, less than 2 miles here to...
It's a short distance, but it does require babysitting gymnastics, so...
That is true. So, but she was able to make it work to answer today's question, which is from a female. Good to know. Let me go ahead and read it, and then we'll jump in.
Sounds good.
Here we go. She says, as my fiancé and I plan for our wedding, we're running into some major issues with his family, particularly his mother. He's the youngest child and only son. He moved out of the house a few years back, but moved back home when his father had a series of strokes that left him unable to walk. He's been helping his mom for quite some time now, but is getting ready to move out a little bit before our wedding to help his mom deal with the transition of him not being there for his parents all the time. His mother is emotionally dependent on him and guilts him for leaving her. I want to help her with her needs, but I'm having difficulty drawing clear boundaries with her. He's always been there for his family in ways that are admittedly unhealthy and has not had good or maybe any kind of boundaries with them. Now that we're getting married, he's trying really to have boundaries to protect me, our relationship, and our future family. He and I have most of our conflicts about his family. It has strained our relationship and taken a lot of the joy out of our wedding planning. I often feel defeated and hopeless about this. Do you have any practical biblical insights on how we should handle this situation?
This is a tough situation. And I think to start, I just want to say that you're not alone in feeling like your tension is about your future in-laws. I think even though most couples wouldn't have the specific medical situation your in-laws are facing, most couples would say it's tense dealing with in-laws. That's one of the only areas that Steve and I have had sustained disagreement about is how we deal with each other's families. And so to start out by saying you're not alone. But that said, I think a couple of things come to mind. The first is to say you cannot control or change the circumstances that your fiancé's parents are facing. But what you can work on, both you and your fiancé and you as a team, is how you respond to the circumstances. And so I think that should be your focus for prayer, for conversations, and for working on. That's where you really need to grow in maturity and grow as one, is how are you going to respond to these emotional needs, to these actual practical physical needs, and how will you let this affect your relationship and shape how you relate to one another? That said, you mentioned that the strain of this relationship is taking the joy out of your wedding planning. And I would say, you know, I'm so sorry about that because you want your wedding planning to be joyful, but let's remember that your wedding is a party. And as long as it's not taking the joy out of your future marriage, then it's not a deal breaker. If it's taking the joy out of your future marriage, that's what is a concern to me, and where I would suggest you need to talk together with maybe your pastor or another married couple that you trust to say, hey, this is really affecting the health of our relationship. What do we do? This, again, is not a deal breaker because the whole point of marriage is to leave and cleave and become one and learn how to respond as a couple, as a married couple, to whatever life throws you. And I guess in some ways you have a leg up on some couples because you know already what life is throwing you. And so you can already start to deal with this difficult situation as a couple. But don't ignore it. Don't avoid it. And certainly encourage your fiancé in the efforts he's making to start to sever some of those emotional ties and some of those dependencies that are unhealthy.
Yeah. You know, it sounds to me, Candace, like this, the future mother-in-law is struggling maybe with some feelings of fear or insecurity, just having this relationship with her son change or knowing it's going to change, which to me is a little surprising because he's the youngest of, youngest of a bunch of kids. I guess he is the only son though. So, what do you think that this listener can do to kind of strengthen the relationship with this woman so that there's maybe not that territorialism or, you know, what I think often it just seems like so many, brides, especially with mothers-in-law, have to draw lines and it's like they already start staking out territory and getting, you know, kind of crazy. What can she do proactively to start building the relationship in a healthy way?
Well, it's not just the brides who get crazy. It's the mothers-in-law. Mm-hmm. I was at a shower for Ashley, who, yay, Ashley, because she's getting married. Actually, when this airs, she will have been married a week. So her mother-in-law actually brought out her apron and at the shower cut the apron strings off and gave them to Ashley. And I thought, wow, what an awesome picture of a mother-in-law who recognizes how difficult this relationship is.
That was like a tear fest. Like, I started crying when she did that. And then she read this awesome, like, poem or something about just all the things she was going
to
relinquish.
Her commitment to Ashley and how she was going to relate to her. And I was taking notes mentally to think, I want to do this for my sons, because I don't want to be the kind of mother-in-law that's holding on so tightly that I don't want my son to go form a new family. Because really, that is what God is calling this young man to. And so whatever this young woman can do to let her mother-in-law know that she is praying for her, to try to encourage her with scripture, to try to build her up. I don't think you want to force saying things like, I love you. If you don't feel that yet, it's okay. But you can say things that are demonstrating kindness and really being godly in your character toward her, and pray that God will give you a love for her and will give you his perspective on not only her situation, but her father-in-law's situation, and pray that God will strengthen their marriage. Because it sounds like maybe the mother-in-law is looking to the son for things that she really should be looking to her husband for. So as a couple, if they can agree in the privacy of their conversations for what they would like to see happen with the parents, to be praying for that God would strengthen the parents' relationship, and that maybe the brother could talk to his sisters about, hey guys, I'm feeling like I'm carrying this by myself. How can you help me? Because I need you to help me create the margin to form a healthy marriage myself, to not act as if you're alone in this, to really rely on the community of family.
Yeah, those are good thoughts. I think in the future we will bring in some in-law situations here and just hammer him out. Maybe we'll bring in Candace's parents and just see, you know, have Steve be like, you know, this is how it worked for me.
My parents are perfect.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it was Steve's parents
that wouldn't
that
be the best. Yeah,
had all the problems.
That wouldn't be the best example then, I guess. So, well, those are good thoughts, Candace. Thanks so much for being here. As always, out there, we want to hear your questions and your comments, your thoughts, your concerns. Write to us at editor@boundless.org. Our questions, as always, come from you, because you're the ones that we want to address out there and help you along as you're kind of traveling this path towards not only adulthood but marriage and relationships and beyond. So we want to hear from you. So again, write to us at editor@boundless.org. We'll hear from you in the future. And until then, for The Boundless Show, I'm your host, Lisa Anderson.
The Boundless Show is a production of boundless.org. Focus on the family.